Shabbat Shalom. 2 weeks ago, we sold our car. We did it ourselves, without a car broker, without a dealer. And my wife and I were nervous. We wanted to do everything correctly. So we reviewed all the forms and all the procedures. We spent hours on the DMV website. And the buyer also did tedious work. After we completed the transaction, the buyer, who was not Jewish, said, "Mr. Schuldenfrei, I am glad we went through all the steps to make this sale kosher." And like you, I laughed. I'm proud that in American culture, when something is kosher, it means done the right way. If something is kosher, it was done correctly. I bring up this funny observation as a means of introducing something heavier. For the past several months, the kosher industry has been in the news with stories of abuse. And today, I would like to address the kosher meat scandal. I'm greatly concerned that at the market, there is food that is labeled kosher, but was not produced in the right way. When I say this, I'm not talking about ritual standards, but rather ethical standards of humanity. First, some background information. The largest producer of kosher meat and poultry in the United States is a company called Agriprocessors, and they sell their meat under labels such as Aaron's Best, Rubushkin's, and others. In the past, Agriprocessors has been cited for state and federal labor violations, including unpaid overtime and inadequate working conditions. These citations were well covered in the Jewish press, but they didn't have much traction and they didn't have a large effect on the industry. Everything changed this past spring. On May 12th, federal immigration authorities raided the Agriprocessor plant in Iowa and detained close to 400 illegal immigrants. The discussion over immigration policy in this country is very complex, and this is not a sermon about immigration. What concerns me are the reports coming from these workers, account after account, of unspeakable working conditions and abuse. Reports of workers forced to work shifts as long as 17 hours a day, 6 days a week, without breaks, without overtime pay. People being put in charge of dangerous machinery, sharp carving knives, without any safety training. Allegations of underage labor, children 15, 16 years old, working abusively long hours, and claims of supervisors, whom the workers called rabbis, hitting the workers with blunt instruments. I want to stress that as of now, these are just allegations. Nothing has been proven. Nobody at Agriprocessors has been convicted of a crime or even been charged. Agriprocessors now admits that illegal immigrants and even underage workers were employed at their plant, but they maintain they were misled, that the workers had presented falsified documents declaring that they were in fact older and that they were in fact legal. And as for these allegations of abuse, Agriprocessors flatly denies all the allegations. And since at this point, these are only allegations, I am not calling for you to boycott or to stop eating their meat. But these charges give us reason to pause and reconsider the types of meat we purchase. We know that a kosher label is known as a heksher. It's a mark such as the OU, usually found on the packaging of the food product. A heksher, this mark, indicates that a food is kosher in the rabbinic sense. A food with a heksher simply means that the religious laws concerning food preparation were followed. Years ago, I trained to be a mashkiach, one who supervises a kitchen to make sure that it is kosher. As the mashkiach of a camp kitchen, hungry campers used to come up to me and ask, "Is lunch any good today?" And my standard reply was, "I don't know if it's good. All I know is that it's kosher." I assumed responsibility to ensure that the laws of kashrut were followed. No milk and meat, only kosher meat, etc. As to taste, health, and conditions in the kitchen, that was out of my hands. This is because for a kitchen food product or a corned beef sandwich to be kosher, it only has to be labeled with a heksher. It only needs to meet certain ritual requirements. No other health or ethical considerations are considered. And this is where my position has changed. I no longer feel confident that something is kosher if it meets stringent ritual criteria but fails to address the ethical. As strict as our tradition is about the preparation of kosher food, in other matters, we are just as strict ethically, which is a great source of pride for our people. The Torah's teaching about workers' rights include the following. From Leviticus chapter 19, we have to pay our workers immediately for any work that they do. From Deuteronomy chapter 24, you shall not abuse a needy and destitute laborer. And that chapter in Deuteronomy goes on to teach that if we do harm our workers, if we harm them or do not pay them in a fair manner, we will be guilty in the eyes of God. Following the Torah's lead, for thousands of years, the rabbis ruled to ensure that Jews treated their workers fairly. For in our faith, an overall ethic in business is considered critical. To drive this point home, the tradition teaches that when the heavenly court investigates whether or not we should be allowed into heaven, the first question that each of us will be asked is if we conducted ourselves fairly in our business dealings. So that brings up the question. If there is kosher food that follows all the ritual laws, but is made in a way that falls short of our Jewish ethical standard, is it kosher? To address this question, I want to consider the holiday of Sukkot and the mitzvah of the lulav and the etrog. Let's say this year on the way to the synagogue, I noticed that my good friend Cantor Gol has the most lovely lulav and etrog, and I am really excited about the holiday. So when Cantor Gol's not looking, I steal his lulav and etrog. And I use his beautiful lulav and etrog during the service, shaking it at all the appropriate times and making all the necessary blessings. Does any of it count? Do I get credit for the stolen lulav and etrog? The answer is no. There is no credit because of the legal principle that a mitzvah performed by way of a sin is not considered a mitzvah. Mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira. A mitzvah performed by a transgression is no longer a mitzvah. The principle of mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira compels us to look not only at the end result, but also at the means that were used for achieving this result. Let's consider how to apply this standard of looking at our means as well as the result to the kosher food industry. I don't know what's ultimately going to happen with agriprocessors, but I do worry that much of the kosher food that we all eat is food that is, in fact, mitzvah haba'a ba'avera, kosher food that is made in the most unkosher of ways, food that is prepared with the utmost respect for ritual law and no consideration of the ethical. By our new standard, that meat is not kosher. It is meat filled with the blood, tears, and suffering of our fellow man. For us to turn a blind eye, to disregard the ethical, undermines why we keep kosher in the first place. This is an appropriate time for us to consider these new standards for kashrut, for keeping kosher. Today is Rosh Chodesh Av, the beginning of the month of Av. And the ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av, marks the day when the second temple was destroyed by the Romans. For the next 9 days, from the first of Av until Tisha B'Av, as a sign of mourning, many Jews don't eat meat. During these 9 days, as we refrain from eating meat as a way of commemorating our own suffering, let's consider if we can continue to eat meat produced from the suffering of others. There's an upside to all of this. In 2006, after earlier reports of abuse and unsafe conditions at the agriprocessor plant in Iowa, the conservative movement formed a commission aimed at exploring ethical concerns in the kosher industry. After site visits, meetings with both labor and management, and extensive research, the commission concluded that there was reason for concern and further recommended the establishment of a certification, a heksher, that kosher food and meat have met certain ethical standards and that the food was produced in a socially responsible manner. They named it Heksher Tzedek, or the mark of justice. With the latest allegations against agriprocessors, the interest in the Heksher Tzedek project has grown. Critics of Heksher Tzedek, critics of this project, claim that the Heksher is not necessary. They claim that the government should ensure that the workers' rights and that there are proper working conditions. They think that's the government's responsibility. Here's my response. While government regulations should be effective, for a variety of reasons, they just aren't working. Conditions at kosher plants are becoming worse. Considering this, as Jews, we know all too well that when there is a problem, we cannot simply rely on others. We must take action ourselves. Simply stating that it's the government's responsibility to assure the ethical standards of our food, of our kosher food, is an abdication of our responsibility. Just leaving it to the government does not convey a trust in the government. Rather, it shows our disinterest in the cause, and that would be shameful. Thankfully, the Heksher Tzedek project is moving ahead. Just this past week, the commission released its standards for products to receive the marking, and soon, God willing, we will have a label that tells us not only if a product is ritually kosher, but if it is kosher, done the right way, the ethical way, the Jewish way. I did not grow up keeping kosher. When I began to fully explore Judaism, I then saw keeping kosher as a beautiful way of introducing God and holiness and to the most common of my activities. For myself and for so many of us, keeping kosher does just that. It provides a constant reminder of our Jewish identity, of our obligations to God. With a watchful eye, and with projects such as Hechsher Tzedek, we can assure that kosher food is not compromised by greedy and indecent practices. We can assure that keeping kosher is, in fact, kosher. Then we will no longer worry that by keeping kosher, others have suffered and been denigrated. Mitzvah haba'ah ba'aveira. Rather, once again, we will keep kosher, knowing that it raises our awareness of the world around us, trusting that it reminds us of our obligations to live righteously, and we will keep kosher with faith that it will bring us closer to God. Shabbat Shalom.